Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, it turns out that one bill is better than 11 bills. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we bring home the bacon coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from another dimension, a dimension of only sound and mind, to the boundaries of imagination, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well. We had a Monday Night Football game that did not suck. It was a good matchup. It was a close matchup. And that's where we lead our radio show together here in a wind tunnel. That would be Orchard Park, New York. A key AFC matchup, Bill Belichick leading the Patriots traveling party into the shores of Lake Erie there, 36 degrees at kickoff. It felt like it was in the mid-20s, so right around 25 degrees, give or take, and got colder as the night went on, and the wind was blowing. It was snow, but it didn't stick to the ground. It was a winter wonderland. Gusts up to 55 miles an hour. And cold, 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 bone-chilling cold. And it's only going to get worse as we get further and further into the calendar. And remember, the NFL regular season does not end now till January 9th. So you'll get an extra 10 days or so of cold, cold, cold weather. But as far as the Bills and the Patriots, did you watch? I can't assume that you watched. Maybe you were sleeping because you worked the late shift and you missed the game. Don't worry. We watched so you would not have to. Damon Harris rumbling and stumbling for 111 yards on only 10 carries and a touchdown. He got hurt. He got hurt. And then Ramondre Stevenson came in and he added 78 more on the ground as the Patriots led from pillar to post and they get a 14-10 win in a bad weather game on Monday Night Football. So they continue on as the number one overall seed in the American Football Conference. And let us discuss the question. What are the takeaways from the Patriots using the wind to squeeze past the Bills? So I've got Bronze Age, AWOL, and Sword. And we will combine all of these things together and make a passable Maller monologue. Now, it's pretty obvious that Bill Belichick did some inventory. And he looked around. He checked the weather app, assuming he has a smartphone. We think he does. Or he went on weather.com and looked up the forecast. He then looked at Mac Jones, and he made, at that point, a pivot. He made a calculated decision that he was not going to allow that guy to use the forward pass. He was going to eliminate the forward pass almost altogether. That Mac Jones' deficiencies in throwing the ball in bad weather would be a liability for the Patriots. So rather than even attempt it, let's limit it to one throw for the first three quarters of the game and only a couple of extra throws after that. New England was the epitome of a one-dimensional offense. They took the game of football back to the Bronze Age. I had not seen a game like this since 1983. A team had not won like this at the levels the Patriots ran the football and did not attempt to throw the ball since the early 1970s. I'm getting old, and it's before I was even around. The key to winning bad weather games, the formula is well known. It is not a secret. It is not hidden. You don't need to bring in a Rosetta Stone to win a bad weather game. It is a machismo game. It's a toughness game, right? Run the ball. Stop the run. And do a good job on special teams. Don't allow any big kick returns to the opposition to give them great field position. Check, check, check. The Patriots checked all three boxes. They loaded up the fat guys up front and went with a stable of running backs, more than one. Every man, woman, and child watching this knew the situation. Damon Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, after Harris got hurt, and a couple of other players as well, ran the ball down the throat of the Bills defense right there. A defense which statistically was among the very best in the NFL, but New England ended up with 46 carries for 222 yards. That is emasculating for the Buffalo defense, and the Bills had 8 and 9 defenders up front because they knew that the Patriots are going to run the ball, and still the Patriots were able to do enough by taking away the pass from their offense to win a game against what is supposedly a highfalutin defense in Buffalo. Holy cannoli, Mike. If you're the Bills, Bills Mafia, you need to call a meeting. You have to call a meeting. How do you lose that game? How do you lose that game? Now, part B of this, for the Bills, right, to only score 10 points, and it's really worse than that. It's football malpractice, especially considering that 7 of those points were gifted, at least 6 of them, were gifted from the Patriots. N'Keal Harry muffed a punt. It's not the Aussie muffed it. It's the American muffed it. And N'Keal Harry, remember he wanted a trade before the season, and then his agent made a hullabaloo, and people realized nobody really wanted N'Keal Harry. So he's with the Patriots still. And it bounced, and then it bounced a second time off his helmet. And then that handed the Bills the ball at the New England 14-yard line, and that just provided a one-play touchdown pass drive to get points. So that means the other 9 drives that the Bills had in this game, they scored a total of 3 points the rest of the game. And the Bills were able to get the ball down. They were able to move the ball down inside Patriot territory. And the Bills' running game completely vanishing in the wind. They blew away somewhere over the water. They're gone. And so this game was an opportunity for Josh Allen to step up. This way, so, oh, it's too windy! I disagree. Josh Allen went AWOL. He's the guy with the big contract. He's not the rookie. He's the franchise quarterback. And it is his responsibility. Right? Big contract comes with big shoes to fill. Josh Allen got the $258 million contract. Congratulations. I hope you invest in the stock market, a little real estate, maybe a little crypto. You'll do very well. But you play quarterback in Buffalo. Hello! You are judged by how you play in cold, windy, snowy games late in the season, December and January games against the Patriots. You're not playing for a dome team. You're not hanging out on the West Coast where the weather's always great. You're in stinking Buffalo. You're going to have to play well in those games. This was a measuring stick game. Spoiler alert! Josh Allen failed. His numbers overall were even misleading. We mentioned the giveaway, the touchdown, which was a gift from the Patriots, turning the ball over, N'Keal Harry muffing the punt at the 14-yard line. From the second through the fourth quarter, Josh Allen had bupkis at 121 yards passing, 45% completion percentage. Well, it was the wind. It's the wind. Well, yes, it's the wind, but you've got to get points. You've got to, for that offense to really, what I think legitimately only 3 points. Now, they did miss a field goal, but that is unacceptable. The Bills were marching around before the season about how they are among the elites in the NFL and that what happened in 2020 was not a fluke, that Buffalo is here to stay. that they have marked their territory like a dog. The Bills urinated on their territory, that they're here to stay. Well, they don't look like the kind of team that is here to stay with this kind of performance from Josh Allen as the franchise guy. And bad, bad, bad. I mean, he was able to get the ball inside Patriot territory, but unable to complete the journey. And you start looking around now, and you see the Bills, and they have a 7-5 record. And remember, they began the year losing to Pittsburgh, and now when you look around and look at the resume of the Bills, and they rolled off 4 wins in a row, and they were sitting at 4-1, feeling pretty good about themselves. Since then, it has gone loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. They are the definition of average, the Buffalo Bills. Might I remind you, they also lost to Jacksonville. When you lose to Jacksonville, you can lose to anyone, and they've yet to win a close game. Despite having 7 wins and having played now 12 games, the Bills are the only team in the NFL that have yet to win a close game. That is an indictment on Buffalo also. So they can blow people out. Yeah, they can put up 40-something points against Washington or 45 against the Jets. And they can blow the doors off the Saints, but if you keep it close in the fourth quarter, you're going to win. The Bills are not going to win. That's at least the way it's been so far. All right, last word here. So the Patriots, as the number one seed in the AFC, and this win validated that is legit, right? They validated it to win in that environment, to win the way they did. And now, do the Patriots have the fear factor? I was talking to a friend. I was actually texting. I don't talk to anyone other than you when I do the show, but I was texting a friend, and we're going back and forth, and he's a big Patriot guy, and he said, oh, yeah, the Patriots are all the way back. And I'm like, yeah, they're back, but I don't think they're all the way back yet. I'm not at that point. I'm not ready to go to that point. And I'm on Team Belichick. But I look at the Patriots, and I'm like, yeah, the AFC is very packed up. It's like a horse race where you're turning the corner, coming down the stretch, and there's like three or four horses. Hopefully you're not at Santa Anita because 3 or 4 of the horses would die. But the horses are all bunched up side by side, and they're ready to come down the stretch. And so the Patriots right now happen to be a length ahead of the other teams, and they're gaining more accolades and more rat poison by the day. The media will be slobber, slobber, slobber all over the Patriots for the next couple of days. And nobody is going to want to go into Foxborough in January and play a playoff game. But my devil's advocate argument is this, that Mac Jones throwing 3 times is a double-edged sword. It's great that New England showed grit, gravel, and grime to win that game. But it is unsustainable to say that even at home, going into a playoff game, that formula is going to work. And this is a very windy game. I don't know how many of those games you're going to get in Foxborough. You get a lot of snow, a lot of sleet and whatnot. The wind was the big determining factor in this. But you can't hide the quarterback in every cold weather game. In small doses, yeah, it'll work now and again. But it's not realistic when you play your home games in an icebox. Did Mac Jones, the other question I had, did Mac Jones' rookie of the year campaign gain ground or lose ground because of this performance? Did it take a hit? And I say to a certain degree it did, because this fuels the argument that Mac Jones is a passenger and he's not the one driving the bus, that he's more of a bystander and he's not the one that is in charge of everything, and he's more of a byproduct of Bill Belichick. So I think this actually does do damage to Mac Jones. Now, the question is, who's going to catch Mac Jones? And that's a tough one. I mean, there's a couple of defensive guys that have put up some big numbers as rookies, but usually we have a huge bias towards offensive players, and Mac Jones is still, I would say, in the lead in that category. And often what happens at the end of the year is people just look at the total body of work, and they don't look at specific moments. But I would say if you actually judge Mac Jones just based on this and add it to the resume, you'd say this is not something that you would want to brag about on your resume as a quarterback, that you were good at running back and handing off to the right and the left. Because I think there are many guys who right now have regular jobs that were high school quarterbacks that could probably do the same damn thing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Cane of Change. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere, as we know about ashes to ashes, dust to dust, hot air to hot air, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and ever powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the meter, keeping the VU meter moving all night from the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well. Big story in the NFL. The Patriots, as they win with three pass attempts. That's it! Three pass attempts. They win an NFL game on a windy, cold, frosty night with snow coming down in parts of the game. Patriots edge the Buffalo Bills 14-10. Never trailed in that game. Mac Jones, though, only attempting three passes, completing two of them for 19 yards. It was run, 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 run. More on that later. Our lead, though, this hour comes from college football. A big shakeup in South Florida. Now, this is one of those dinosaur programs. If you're of a certain age, there's a point of demarcation where if you're over a certain age, you hear about the U and you reminisce to a time where they ruled the roost in college football. If you're below a certain age, you say, what's all the talk about? Who cares? They've been that good in a long time. We're talking about the University of Miami, and they got the guy they wanted for the second time. For the second time. The Hurricanes have opened up the bank account to hire Mario Cristobal from Oregon. He leaves the Pac-12 behind, and they have decided to abandon Manny Diaz. They tossed him overboard, lost as collateral damage in the Hurricane after three seasons. And for the past week, Manny Diaz has been in limbo as he awaited his fate. The word on the street was that Manny Diaz was going to be retained as the coach if Mario Cristobal had said, no, I'm going to take that Nike money and I'm not coming back home to Miami. Now, that didn't happen, and so the result was that the coaching change was made. And Manny Diaz, there's many people writing these heartfelt stories about how wrong this is, what Miami did. Manny Diaz himself issued a lengthy prepared statement on this uncomfortable departure from the U. Now, it's an interesting story. This is the high-stakes game of college football. If you didn't hear about this, and maybe not, Diaz, in that statement, confirmed that he is irritated on the decision to go a different direction. He enjoyed being the coach of the Hurricanes. He said, quote, I am disappointed in the university's decision and the manner in which this played out over the past few weeks. In the statement went on to say, the uncertainty impacted our team, our staff, and their families. Now, these are real people that give everything to this program. For that, for them, I hurt, close quote. All right, so let us discuss the question. There's a common theme here with Manny Diaz's statement and a number of the stories here as they are throwing dirt at the University of Miami. Did the Canes do Manny Diaz dirty with this dismissal, saying, get out of here? So I'm giving the thought of this being dirty, dirty, dirty side eye. I disagree with the narrative. And I've got biblical doom and gloom, and dragon. And we'll lock all of these things together. Now, number one. So we always start with number one. Manny Diaz did not win enough. He didn't have a lot of time, but he didn't take advantage of the time he had. The Canes went 21-15. So it really comes down to wins and losses. Wins and blankety-blank losses. And he came into Miami, and I remember when he got hired a couple years back. It wasn't that long ago. And he talked a good game about the new Miami and return to glory and hit all the big buzzwords, but the results were not there. And he had replaced Mark Richt, who had been a highfalutin coach that didn't work out either. And this is the way the business of college football has operated for a very long time. It is cutthroat. But under no circumstances is Manny Diaz a victim. Sometimes you are the windshield and sometimes you are the bug. In anything in life, but certainly in these coaching hires, these high-profile coaching hires. And Diaz is living a biblical tale. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Manny Diaz played the game to his advantage. And he ended up at Miami as the head coach. Remember, he had signed a deal, if you're a college football savant, you might remember he had signed a deal to become the head coach in Philadelphia at Temple. He's going to be the head coach in Philly at a pretty terrible football program. That was back in 2018. And they got all excited. They're going to be the head coach of the Owls, going to turn the program around. Less than a month after he had agreed to be the coach at Temple, he said, you know what? I don't want to go to Temple. I want to go to Miami. Why? Why? Because that is a better opportunity. South Florida guy, go back to Miami, and he took the job. So the argument that Manny Diaz is somehow the victim of dirty pool by Miami, well, no, he did the same thing, essentially, to get out of Temple. He had agreed to a contract to coach at another school, and then he left that school because he got a better opportunity. Well, Mario Cristobal had a job at Oregon, and he wanted to go back to Miami. They wanted to pay him a lot of money, and there you go. Now, the second point. If you want to play winners and losers, the answer to all of these questions, the big winners in college football are the head coaches who get fired. Now, why is that? They get the massive buyout. Manny Diaz, for all of the angst that he might have for some assistance, he will get somewhere between $7 and $8 million to walk away from the U. $7 to $8 million, closer to $8 million. And Diaz will be able to get out of Dodge. He'll enjoy the nice payout. He can invest that. And the price of money, the value of money is going down right now. So the money now will be worth more than it will be years from now as the price of the dollar continues to go down. Simple economics. And so Diaz will be able to invest, and that money will make money. And then he'll get another fat check as coach. Now, he's not going to be in picturesque South Florida. He's going to have to go to a college football town far, far away in the Netherlands of collegiate football. The University of Miami, though, the budget, that is insane here. And the thing about it, the most interesting part of this story is not the way that Miami treated Manny Diaz. It is not the way Mario Cristobal left Oregon. It is the fact that Miami's now at the big boys' table, and the reason they have the money, it's been fueled by doom and gloom. That the success now, financially, of the Miami football program is a direct result of COVID. From what I read, the financial boom in South Florida for the University of Miami is because of sick people. It's because of people that have had COVID. And the money that is made from that, the Miami U Health system, which is part of the University of Miami, they call it Miami U Health, did very, very well. And when I say very, very well, they made more than $400 million in profit because of the COVID. So they're pumping that money that was extra money they didn't expect to have. They're allocating some of that money, from what I understand, to the fledgling football program, in addition to some boosters that have opened up their war chest. So the combination of those things, but the main driving force is the $400 million in profits out of the U Health system, which is going back. And so that's why Miami, which has always been thought of as a less than extravagant operation there, they're paying $8 million, let's say, we'll round up, $8 million for Manny Diaz. They're paying $9 million to Oregon to buy out Cristobal, and they're going to pay him $8 million a year. So using Maller math, that is $26 million out of pocket right there. So $9 million, it's kind of like when you buy an apartment or you rent an apartment, right? You got to rent first and last, right? You got to have first and last. You got to pay the rent. So right away, so it's $26 million. total out of pocket. Plus, they're going to spend a ton of money on upgrading the facility and the assistant coaches' salaries and all of that. All right, final point. So is the University of Miami job an elite job? So this is another one of those conversations that I got into with a buddy of mine. I said, yeah, I'm going to talk about the Canes thing. And I was like, oh, what do you think about that? So we were going back and forth. And I say, if you go thumbs up, thumbs down, Miami still being an elite job, I go thumbs up. But I'm old, okay? So I remember when Miami had a vicious defense and they were producing NFL player after NFL player, and they dominated recruiting in the state of Florida. And there was at one point where, like, Florida State and Miami, all three of those were the top programs in college football for a stretch, a long time ago. But I say it's still an elite job because it's fertile recruiting ground, which is what builds everything up, right? You build up the program with the recruits, and you're in South Florida, you have amazing weather, the job pays well. And so I put the Hurricanes as a fire-breathing dragon that's sleeping. It's a program that has been hibernating. And if you remember when the Hurricanes were good, you're old, right? We pointed that out. You're old. Miami, since 2003, so that's a span of 18 years, I believe they've had one 10-win season since 2003. So that is a long stretch of unremarkable college football. And even 10 wins. Like, 10 wins is a lot, but it's still not enough to get you a seat at the main table. You're still at a secondary table. So you got to win even more than that. Now, Cristobal is leaving Oregon, returning to coach his alma mater, where he won not one, but two national championships as a player for a ton of dough. And even if it doesn't work out, he'll get a massive payout, and then he'll get another job. So he's got nothing to lose here and everything to gain, because if he does turn Miami around, then the NFL starts looking at him and say, wait a minute, we can take you to the NFL. As for the Ducks, Nike U, what a blow to Phil Knight and Nike, who pretty much bankroll Oregon Athletics there, and they are left to scramble. And I love the rejects that have been tossed out at Oregon. One of the big names that I've been hearing is Chip Kelly of UCLA. Going back to Eugene, leaving Los Angeles for Eugene, where he built Oregon up to a juggernaut, although not in the bowl games, but an amazing run back 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago at Oregon. And then another name which I saw and I smiled, Bill O'Brien. Remember the old Texans coach, Bill O'Brien? Yeah, he's currently doing a stint at the coaching rehab clinic of Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. He is the offensive coordinator at that institution for now, allegedly. So that's another name that's been mentioned. And there's some other coordinators that are not big names that are rising up the ranks. So we'll see what happens with that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Here we go!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And the Coop Dalu.
Tua Tagovailoa has been getting a lot of praise over the Dolphins' five-game win streak, but Giants cornerback Logan Ryan isn't impressed. Ryan said, I'm a lot like Tua. I can throw two-yard passes to the left. Yeah. Now, Ben, does Tua deserve the praise, or is it closer to what Logan Ryan said?
No, I like my cheap shot at Mac, the Patriots quarterback, that I can hand off right, hand off left. But no, listen, Logan Ryan can take a number. From the deli counter, he's joining a growing list of NFL players who are exasperated by the success the Dolphins are having right now. And Tua, he is at the very bottom. He's 31st in intended air yards. So Logan Ryan's not wrong. He's not wrong. There's only two quarterbacks ranked lower, Matt Ryan and Jared Goff, who have been worse. But the operative word is winning. And as long as the recipe is producing W's, then Tua Tagovailoa deserves some level of praise. But let's not get crazy. Accuracy is the most lethal skill a quarterback can possess. Arm strength, highly overrated compared to accuracy. But we'll find out whether this works in the down the line. The Dolphins have been playing great the last month and a half. Next!
So Mike D'Antoni strongly hinted in an interview recently at a return to the sidelines this weekend. He said he's too young to rule anything out. Ben, where do you think would be a good fit for Mike D'Antoni?
Well, as I am middle-aged now, Coop, it's refreshing to hear a 70-year-old still say, I'm too young to not do something. I like that. Good job. A good going, Mike D'Antoni. But if you look around the NBA, he wants a high-profile job. He wants a big-market job. Why not go back to the Lakers? Right? Frank Vogel's eventually going to be fired. They're going to blame him for the Lakers' mediocrity so far. And D'Antoni and LeBron are friends, and D'Antoni loves the big spotlight and massaging egos and all that. If not there, the Mavericks are not exactly lighting the world on fire with Jason Kidd. Will Mark Cuban pull the plug on Jason Kidd quickly? And would he allow an ego like Mike D'Antoni? But those are a couple of jobs. Otherwise, he'd have to go to a crappy job. He didn't want one of those. Next!
So the Texans have pulled off the NFL's reverse triple crown. They are ranked 32nd in rushing, 32nd in passing, and 32nd in total offense. Ben, how much better do you think the Texans would be if Deshaun Watson was playing this season?
So I think they'd only be moderately better. Like, the Texans would not be historically bad, but they'd still be terrible. Like, at least Deshaun Watson in garbage time could put up some numbers, but he's got a lot of rust. He's been hanging out with his lawyer, Rusty Harden, for a while there, so there's some rust, but Houston's depth chart sucks. They got Brandon Cooks, nobody else. How did we do?
You passed this edition.
That's a winner! Put it on the board!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
And it is game show time. We play this game every single week at about this time. It's Maller's Mountain of Money, a chance for you to point out your knowledge. It's team competition. So you'll team up with myself or Eddie, Roberto, or Koopa Loop, and whoever gets the most points on the board will be declared the winner of the game. And let's welcome in our contestants. We say hello to Eli from Fresno, Eddie's old stomping grounds. Hello, Eli.
What's going on?
Welcome in, Eli. You're going to play our game. Tell the person in Sheboygan what you're doing for a living.
Oh, I'm out here door dashing currently.
Door dashing. And what are people in Fresno eating in the middle of the night?
McDonald's.
A lot of McDonald's.
Yeah. A lot of McDonald's.
How quick is the turnaround from the McDonald's to the location? Are you like a 5-minute guy, 10-minute guy? Obviously, I guess it depends on where the people live. But I would think you wouldn't really want to eat McDonald's if it's been sitting around for 20 minutes, you know, right?
Oh yeah, super quick. Less than 10 minutes.
Less than 10 minutes, door to door, get it done.
Or it's free.
Ooh, really. Or not it's really free. And then you eat it all, right? No?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But didn't they start the restaurants now, they put a sticker on the back so you can't, like, steal a fry, right? You're not allowed to do that.
No, I'm not, sadly. I'm diabetic, so I can't eat any of that stuff, so.
That's got to be frustrating. You're diabetic and you're around unhealthy food. I don't think anyone's ordering healthy food from you.
Yeah, just like nobody's taking plant-based vaccines. Kyrie Irving's a nut job.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Hold on, Eli. Far Out Dave is somewhere in the great state of Ohio. It's kind of a big state. Hello, Far Out Dave.
Hey, guys. What's up? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Far Out Dave.
Hey, is Eli the guy that brought me my McDonald's? Because he did a good job, except he forgot my sauces, man.
What kind of sauce? What's your go-to sauce at McDonald's?
With the chicken nuggets. No, but it's honey, man. Just good old honey, man.
Basic honey. I'm a purist, too, when it comes to the nuggets. I like the honey sauce also. Occasional barbecue. Occasionally, I'll mix in the barbecue.
Or you dip it in some hot sauce and then the honey, and that always is... Or vice versa, honey, and then the hot sauce is pretty awesome.
It's next level, I hear you. Yeah, and if you got your delivery, Far Out Dave, from Eli, he had to get into a plane and deliver. What part of Ohio are you in there, Far Out Dave?
I'm 15 minutes outside of Canton in New Philly. New Philadelphia, Ohio.
All right. Philly, Ohio. I got you. Hold on a sec. Let's go back to Eli. Eli, who would you like to partner up with on the show? You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, who actually went to Fresno State, Roberto, or the Coop Da Loop.
I got to go with my fellow dog.
Well, Eddie is a dog. That is correct. All right, hold on a sec.
Fresno State Bulldog, yeah.
He said dog. Far Out Dave, who would you like to partner up with, Far Out Dave?
Let's do it, Ben.
All right, we'll get it done. We're going to get it done. Yes, Coop, what are the categories here for the game? Please, let's set it up. We'll go right back to the game.
All right, gentlemen, this is Maller's Mountain of Money, Randy Rhodes edition. He would have turned 65 yesterday, but he died at 25 years old in a plane crash while touring with Ozzy Osbourne. So the categories are as follows. Crazy Train, I Don't Know, Flying High Again, or Over the Mountain. Eli, you were on first. Which category would you like?
Flying High Again.
All right, Flying High Again. And Dave, you got either Crazy Train, I Don't Know, or Over the Mountain. Over the Mountain, all right.
Over the mountain and through the hills. All right, very good. Everyone stay on hold there, and we will have Maller's Mountain of Money with Eli and Eddie, Far Out Dave, and me, Ben, and we'll get to that for the rest of the hour, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
We'll get right to the game as we have a solid matchup, Maller's Mountain of Money, Eli and Eddie, they are teamed up, and myself and our buddy from the great state of Ohio, Far Out Dave. So let's get right to the game, Koopaloop.
All right, Eli and Eddie are up first. You guys selected Flying High Again. For those of you new to the game, we need the first and last name of the athlete in order to receive points. You're going to have 45 seconds to get through the list. Eli, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, Flying High Again. These athletes have all been known to have drug problems. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
Maybe the greatest golfer of all time. He just got in a car wreck recently.
Tiger Woods.
The playmaker for the Dallas Cowboys, number 88. Wide receiver. Out of the U.
Des Bryant.
Out of the U. Former Cowboys wide receiver. Now on the NFL Network.
Oh, Michael Irvin.
Linebacker for the New York Giants. Maybe one of the greatest defensive players of all time. He broke Joe Theismann's leg.
Don't remember.
New York Mets outfielder in the 80s. He stirred the drink for the Mets. Black guy ended up going to play for the Yankees, the Dodgers. Great hitter.
I don't see color. Next.
Okay, white guy. I'm going to tell you this anyway. Outfielder for the Rangers and.
Oh, Eddie, that's
wow.
Josh Hamilton.
Too late.
Okay, maybe you're of a certain age.
He does not see color. Yeah, I was going to say, Eli sounds young.
Yeah.
Eli likes Lawrence, the guys doing the
Lawrence
coach.
Taylor, yeah. Daryl Strawberry.
He knew Josh Hamilton, though, right away.
He did.
Yeah. 30 points.
He had a 900-foot home run off of my uncle.
Oh, wow.
Who's your uncle?
No, his name's Rami, but it was in high school.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Moving over to Dave and Ben, Over the Mountain is the category. These athletes are currently on the decline, either well into it or just beginning. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
All right, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Dodger pitcher, a Cy Young winner. He's a free agent left-hander for the Dodgers.
Kershaw.
All right. Star with Syracuse. He's now on the Lakers. Played with the Knicks and the Nuggets. He's a small forward.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yes. Wizard star was traded to the Rockets. He's on the bench right now. Yes.
John Wall.
Running back from Alabama. He was traded to the Saints this season from the Texans.
Mark Ingram.
Yes. Longtime Cards defensive back. He joined the Vikings and got hurt this season. In Minnesota.
Patrick Peterson?
Yes. All right. Well, that's good. That's good enough for the lead.
Good for 220 points.
Good job.
Going back over to Eli and Eddie. Eli, would you like Crazy Train or I Don't Know?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect for you.
Ah!
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right. Well,
how many points do we need, Coop?
You need a lot.
Okay.
You need,
so you, no chance.
Basically. Yeah. So
that's
this category.
That's a defeatist attitude, Eddie.
Positive, Eddie.
There's no chance that he'll get the 100-point question.
Right, stop wasting time.
These athletes are all borderline Hall of Famers. 45 seconds on the clock. Begin.
Current Falcons quarterback. His nickname's Ice.
Matt Ryan.
Bloody sock pitcher for the Diamondbacks.
Curt Schilling.
Wide receiver for the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams out of NC State. He was part of the Music City Miracle wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know.
Okay. He was a catcher for the Twins for many, many, many years, like the all-time hit leader for Minnesota.
Justin Morneau?
No. He was a catcher. Yeah. What's the first name?
Joe Mauer.
Okay. Let's see. Longtime NBA player. He's back with the Warriors. It's like his third stint with the Warriors. Sixth man of the year.
Iguodala.
Yes. Denver Broncos linebacker in the 80s, white guy. I don't know what number he was.
I don't know.
I'm trying to give you clues, dude. It doesn't matter if he's a color or not.
I love Angry Eddie.
I enjoy Angry Eddie.
Have you ever heard of Randy Gratishire?
No chance.
Yeah. I have no clue. Yeah, I have no clue.
All right, so it didn't matter.
How old are you, Eli?
23.
Yeah, oh, I mean, wow. he did get
all the rest, did he not? Oh, no, Derek Mason. He didn't get Derek Mason. Yeah,
but he doesn't see color, Eddie.
From NC State. Yeah, so
I mean, Eli's a young guy.
I was just about to say, Torrey Holt's impressive for being that young, but he just explained why he knew that. You got close, but it was 210, and Ben started with 220, so the game's over. But if you want to try
we're going to run up the score. Come on, let's do it, far out, Dave.
Dave, you've got Crazy Train. These athletes were all considered a little crazy. 45 seconds, begin.
All right, a boxer, he bit a guy's ear off.
Mike Tyson.
Yes, wide receiver for the Bucks. He used a fake vax card.
Oh, that kid from Pittsburgh. Crazy guy. Didn't I just win? But let's go, pass.
Yeah, all right. Pitcher for the Dodgers, starting pitcher. He missed most of the season, though. He was investigated
Trevor.
For...
Trevor, he came from Ohio.
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't know. I celebrated. I'm walking around the bases.
How about the Bird? A pitcher from the 1970s, 80s for the Tigers, nicknamed the Bird.
Bad. Yeah.
All right. This guy's alleged to have slept with LeBron's mom, according to the internet. You gave up. See, you won far out, Dave, and you gave up. But that was Mark the Bird Fidrich.
I didn't really. Eli's a cool guy, man. I didn't really, you know. And plus, you know, he probably.
Nah, you
won
just gave up.
You didn't want to embarrass Eli.
You didn't want to run up the score.
Hey, give my ticket to Holler and James.
What's wrong with you, far out, Dave?
Dave.
Don't get. Listen. Thank you for playing far out, Dave. Another win for me. That's why we call it Mather's Mount of Money, not anything to do with Eddie. And Eddie got very frustrated there, as you can tell. He knew that the end was near there. And boy, another Fresno guy, though, Eddie.
Angry Eddie. Angry Eddie's funny.
Angry Eddie's great. Isn't Angry Eddie fun? We all smile at Angry Eddie.
Just like when Angry Ben is more fun.
I don't get angry. I win. I'm a winner, okay? I win this game, okay?
I've won this game more than you.
No, you have not. Yes, it's Mather's Mountain of Money. And
Garcia's pile of pesos.
You're on a long losing streak now, Eddie.
I think I won last week, didn't I?
I am hot to trot. That's what I am right now.
What's that?
You did win that.
Yeah, so that
nobody
long
was listening
losing streak
last week.
Of one.
People are listening now.
Mallard doesn't exaggerate much at all.
Fantastic, I am.
That's your host.
Eli doesn't see color.
Another win on Mallard's Mountain of Money. Cha-ching!